First Peter 1, look at chapter 5. One verse in chapter 5 that really caught my attention, that became the basis for this message, and I believe it will be the title of this whole series of messages. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13. 1 12, he writes in the middle part of that verse, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein you stand. Right there it is. He sums it all up. Everything that he writes in this epistle, this letter. And that's the title of this message, the true grace of God, part one. Chapter one. Now turn back there. Chapter one. In five chapters, we're going to see what the true grace of God is. For salvation is by grace. Salvation is by grace. True grace now. Grace is not an offer. Grace is not an offer. The true grace of God is not an offer. Something God just has and anybody that wants it, they need to accept it and use it. No, no, no. The true grace of God is something that's done to you. It's something that happens to you, not offered to you. It's bestowed upon you. Grace means unmerited favor, an unearned gift. All right, a gift. And this gift of God, this grace of God, He purposed it, He sent it, and He applies it. True grace of God. All right, chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect. Stop right there. This true grace of God is electing grace. God's sovereign electing grace. The true grace of God, wherein you stand, is electing grace. Sovereign electing grace. Now, in Adam, all died. You know that. We're going to be saying many of the same thing. You've heard this preached before so many times. I think about that. I really do. I think they've heard this so many times. But I have too. I bet I've heard more than you. Since I was a baby. This is all I've ever heard. I've heard 1 Peter 1 1,000 times, I know. One way or another. And I still rejoice. We still rejoice in God's sovereign electing grace. It's grace that God elected anybody. A lot of people have trouble with election. A lot of people don't like even the sound of the word. But now, buddy, now here's the thing about it. Adam died. In Adam, all died. All the human race died in Adam. They died. Became corrupt, fallen, full of sin. But God, in mercy and grace, purpose to save some of this fallen race of human beings, sons of Adam. God purposed, determined to save some of them. None of them deserved to be saved. But God in mercy and grace determined to save some of them. And so He chose to save some of them. He didn't have to save anybody. But He decided to. Now, who he saves is his business. The fact that he chooses, the fact that he purposed to save it all is grace, it's mercy. But who he saves is his divine prerogative and business. And so he chose. But it wasn't like he just was just a few. Scripture says he chose a people as the sands of the sea, stars of the sky. He chose a people. Elected. Yes, he elected them. Ephesians 1 says, before the foundation of the world. And as we've heard Charles Spurgeon say, I know he elected me before I was born, because if he'd have waited, he sure wouldn't have chosen me after. That's what Romans 9 deals about. Go home and read Romans 9 for yourself. That says, the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. God chose them, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. That the purpose of God according to election might stand. It was said unto her, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Neither one of them deserved to be saved. Jacob was just as ornery as Esau, but God chose Jacob. That was mercy, and that was grace. That was sovereign electing grace. That's what Exodus 33 said. He said, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. God chose a people, elect, according to the foreknowledge. That doesn't mean that he looked to see who was going to believe on him. That doesn't mean that he just knew that they were at some time were going to believe. To certainly know something, it must certainly come to pass. How are you going to certainly know something? Well, if you make it come to pass, you know it, don't you? Yes, it's just a guess. God's foreknowledge is not just, it's foreknowing, it's foreordaining, it's forecausing, foredetermining, predetermining. According to the foreknowledge of God. Read on. Elect. This is sovereign electing grace. He chose to save a people, persons. Through sanctification of the Spirit. Now, God gave these elect persons to Jesus Christ. And Christ came to this world to save them by His righteousness, to redeem them by His blood. He tells us here, we're not redeemed with the way we live and all of that. No, not tradition or form or ceremony, but with blood, precious blood, blood of Christ, and righteousness. We're made righteous, not by works of righteousness which we do. No, but works of righteousness Christ did for His elect and imputes it to them. All right? And verse 2, he says, and they're sanctified by the Spirit. This is what the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, through what I'm doing right now. And I am not skilled to understand how God uses it. But I know He does. That it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. I feel myself to be such an inadequate, helpless. But this word's not going to return void. And what's being said right now, this gospel, this word, this is what God uses to open the eyes. This is what God, the Holy Spirit, uses to give life. Oh, who's sufficient for these things? And the Holy Spirit sanctifies. And what that means is set apart. What sets apart a believer from an unbeliever? A child of God from a son of Adam is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, through the gospel, says, believe. Convinces of these things. Well, look at verse 2. And unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood, that's obedience to the faith. God says, believe. And we won't believe until He gives us faith. Obedient. And sprinkling of the blood of Christ. all who Christ died for, they're going to believe. All the Father gave to him, they're going to come to him in faith, in repentance. And they're going to keep coming to him. And they're going to hold steadfast to the end, the beginning of their confidence. Here they are. Grace unto you. The elect, grace unto you. This is the true grace of God now. Electing grace. Sanctifying grace. Believing grace. Grace unto you and peace to be multiplied. And it will. The more older you get, the more it will be multiplied to you. The more you'll believe. The more you'll be convinced that I believe God chose me. Grace and peace will be multiplied. Peace by believing. Trusting Christ. Looking to Him. Verse 3. Blessed. And Paul said this is the only thing we've got to say to that. Blessed be God. Oh, bless God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which or who, according to His abundant mercy, hath begotten us, given birth to us. Peter says that over in verse 23, born again. He's given birth to us, begotten us. Romans 8 says that we've received the adoption of children. Children. Begotten us unto a lively hope, verse 3, a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The Apostle Paul, nearly every message he preached in the book of Acts, he spoke much of Christ rising from the dead. Nearly every message. Why? Because if you read 1 Corinthians 15 for yourself, Paul said, if Christ be not risen, what we're doing is vain. We're of all men most miserable. Why are we? If that one who came 2,000 years ago, who said he was God and said he came to save his people by doing what he did, and said he came to do what he did, came to die, as a lamb, and he died and was buried. Now, if he didn't rise from the grave like this book says he did, it was all a lie. He was just a man. And we're a bunch of fools. Because this is all there is. This world is all there is. And why are we doing without? Let's just eat, drink. Paul said, let's just go after the world because this is all there is. You better grab all the gusto while you can. If this is living, you better go at it. But he said, no. But now Christ is risen now. He did rise from the grave, proving who he was. Proving who he was. He came out of that grave. You've seen by over 400 people at one time. Paul said, and I saw him as one born out of due time. I saw him. Peter said, we saw him. We're not telling this. We're not making this up, Peter said. This is not a cunningly devised fable. We're eyewitnesses. We saw him. He is risen. And we saw him go right back, just pass into the heavens, and where he's right now seated at the right hand of God. Stephen said he saw him. Standing there. He's a risen Christ. He's a real Lord, living person. Right now. And now this hope that we have in Him, it's real. It's not just... we're not following some fable. We're not hoping against hope. We're hoping in a person. A real person. See that? When he came back from the grave, he said, touch me. Didn't he? Handle me. It's me, myself. It's me, myself. It's me, myself. A person. And I'm going to walk into heaven right now and leave you, but I'll come back for you. Just not hoping in doctrine, hoping in the hope, a hope, a hope, a hope, a wish, oh, I hope. a real person, died, rose again, came back and said, "Now look, it's me, it's me." He was dead. He rose and said, "It's me. Now I'm coming back. Gird up your loins. I'm coming back real soon. Gird up your loins and hope. Rejoice." And he left. Paul said, we've got a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
Boy. This is a grace of hope. Hope. Verse 4 says, now because of him we have an inheritance. Verse 4, we have an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, is reserved right now in heaven for you who are kept by this gospel. Kept. Kept hoping. Kept believing. Kept looking to Christ. We have an inheritance. Inheritance now. Inheritance really depends on the... Being an heir is not a right. Being an heir to someone's inheritance is not a right. Some of you may find that out. That when your mom or dad or your great uncle dies or whatever, you might not get a dime. It's up to them, isn't it? Huh? Depends on whether or not they liked you or not. Right? That's what it depends upon. Depends on the one who leaves the inheritance. On his mercy. On his grace. It's not my right to get everything that my dad leaves. It's not my right. No, it's not. Law doesn't say that. But our God now says, in Christ, he's made us joint heirs with Christ. Heir of all things. God's bountiful, generous. This is God's generous grace. Generous grace. He gives. Oh, he's gracious. He gives a lot. How much? This inheritance, who nobody's seen it. We'll know, and that's the reason we'll sing to the praise of the glory of his grace from now to through eternity. Grace, 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 grace. Verse 5, we're kept by this grace. Through grace of God, wherein we stand, by the power of God, through faith, keeping grace. This is the true grace of God, wherein I stand now, that I'm being kept by the power of God. I can't keep myself. You know that. I know that. And we try, you know, we fail so miserably, we're kept by the power of God. He is able to keep us from falling. I'm not. Oh, if one of God's people could fall away, I'd fall 1,000 times a day, the poem said. We're kept by his power. Is that the grace you stand in? Is that your hope? Henry, what's your hope that in the end, when you die, you'll die in faith? What's your hope?
That Christ will keep you believing. Right?
What did our Lord say to Peter? Peter, Satan hath desired you to sift you like wheat. Buddy, you're a leader here. You're the chief apostle right now. And Satan wants you. What did our Lord say? But, Peter, I prayed for you. I'm your only hope, Peter. I'm your only hope. I'm going to let you in a little while. I'm going to let you fall. I'm going to leave you to yourself just for about an hour. And, oh, you're going to be the most miserable man on earth. But, Peter, I pray for you that your faith fail not. And Stan, that's what he prayed in his high priestly prayer. Father, those thou hast given me I've kept. Let them know. Thou've given them thy word, and they... believe. And they'll keep on believing. Why? Because I will. That they whom you've given me be with me where I am. This is the true grace of God wherein you stand. You're going to stand someday with Christ, in Christ, by this grace of God. And it's just not a little hope. It's a true thing. Kept by the power of God. And this, what's the power? Right there, what I just said. I give you hope, John? All right, verse 6 says, now, wherein you greatly rejoice. Do you rejoice in that? Huh? You rejoice. You rejoice in the electing grace of God. Huh? Only the elect do. You know that? Do you rejoice in the sovereign electing grace of God? Only the elect do. Do you rejoice in the sanctifying grace of the Holy Spirit that He sets apart? Only the elect do. Do you rejoice in the resurrection of Christ? Keeping grace of God? You rejoice in that God keeps His people? Do you rejoice in that? The elect do. Sound like you might be in this true grace. Well, verse 6 says that you greatly rejoice. But now for a season. For a season. When winter was here, and I was outside, busting ice, scraping snow, I thought, will this ever end? And we didn't even have a winter. We didn't even have a winter to speak of. Keeps getting shorter. Isn't that so? Time is short. Well, but I thought while sitting winter, you know, oh, this is miserable, this is awful, this is terrible. How long is this going to last? Gone. For a season. Seasons don't last long, do they? Neither will these trials, he said. Verse 6, for a season, if need be. Who says need be? If need be. Who says, who determines the need? God. And if He says need be, it need be. It need be. If God says it need be, it need be. Why? It need be. Or it wouldn't be. Right? Right? If you believe this grace of God, I want to see your head nodding. If need be. It need be, or it wouldn't be. Because God is. And all things work together according to this purpose. It need be. Wherein greatly you rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptation, different, many, and many trials. Heaviness. Real trials are heavy ones. What's it all about? Verse 7, trial of your faith. Why have trials come? Not to give faith, to reveal faith. Trials don't give faith. Oh, they strengthen faith, but they don't give faith. The gospel gives faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word. Trials reveal faith. Trials reveal faith. For who? Others. James. Huh? The whole book of James. Others. That they may behold your good work and glorify God, it says. Trial of your faith. The only one way, trials reveal faith. Faith, it says in verse 7, is much more precious than of gold. Much more precious than gold. Saved by faith, justified by faith. Live by faith. Much more precious than gold that perisheth. And this faith will be tried by fire, painful, heaviness, and many trials. Not just one isolated incident, but many trials, generally in older age. Abraham is the father of the faithful, and his life shows us that. that it might be found unto praise. See this? Unto praise. What's faith? What's it all about? That it might be found, what? Unto praise and honor and glory. Whose praise? Well, he's sure a strong believer. Got a strong God. The honor. Unto his honor. Unto his glory. At the appearing of Jesus Christ. The only way to appreciate a good boat, and it can look good. Oh, it can look good. You can build a boat in your garage and the whole world admire it. And everybody brag on it. It look good and it shines and they have a big ceremony. There's only one way. And not, you don't know if it's a good boat by just putting it out there on a calm farm pond. Put it out there in a storm. See if she floats. Let's see if it floats. If it's shipwrecked, wasn't a good boat, was it? Wasn't a real boat. Wasn't a good ark, was it? But if it floats, if it comes through that storm, safely on the other side, in one piece, that's a boat. A boat float. So is faith. True faith. Verse 8. Now you, at the appearing of Christ, whom having not seen. Nobody in here has seen Christ. But you love him. Our Lord called Peter's name, didn't he? Personally. I'd like to call every name in here. He will. So-and-so, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Now, Peter says, now, we saw him. And Peter said, yea, Lord, I love you. And Peter said, now, we have a more sure word of hope. Until you do well, until day star arise in your heart, till Christ reveal himself to you. And a believer, every believer can say this, I haven't seen him, but I do love him. And in whom, verse 8, though now you see him not, believe. I'm a believer. I don't say that proudly or presumptuously. I don't say that bragging on any decision I ever made. I never made a decision, Don. I never made a decision for Jesus. Never! I never accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. I never walked an aisle and shook a preacher's hand. I never did that. Never! I didn't accept anybody. I didn't make any decision. I was found. See, I'm the one that's lost. I was the one that's drowned in. Somebody came in after me. I wasn't seeking the Lord. I really wasn't. Darnell, I wasn't seeking the Lord. I was seeking meanness. I wasn't reading the Bible. Bless God, Christ read my name in his palms. Came after me. And one day, by his grace, through the preaching of the gospel, and I was only doing that, I was only listening to that to get that girl right there. Only came to hear the gospel so I'd get me a good job and get that girl. That's it. That's why. I wasn't seeking the Lord. I was seeking Mindy Ballard. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved me, even when we were dead in sin, by grace, you say, hath quickened me together with Christ. I heard the gospel. Christ revealed himself to me and said, believe. I believe. I'm a believer. I'm a believer. Why? It's not me. By grace, you say, through faith, not of yourself. This is that grace, that true grace, where I stand. I'm standing right here, literally, in front of you, because of the sovereign, electing, saving, faith-giving grace of God. Else I'd be in a gutter or dead. Right now. I'd be one of these old hippies. If it wasn't for this grace wherein I stand right now. I believe. I rejoice with verse 8. With joy unspeakable. I'm trying my best to tell you what it means to me right now. I can't. It's unspeakable. And it's full of glory. I sure can't tell you that. I haven't seen it yet. I've experienced a little bit of it. A foretaste of glory divine. There's times when I don't have to be preaching, but when another man's preaching, if God, by His grace, forgive me, you know, if I get too worked up. And I don't want to draw attention to myself. At times I act like I don't believe at all. There really is. But I do believe. By God's grace, I do believe. And those times I pray, Lord, help my unbelief. Do you believe? Do you? Or don't you? Do you? Or don't you? Yet believing, you rejoice with joy. Receiving, verse 9, believing and receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Oh, and he goes on to talk about now the prophets. It's what all the prophets talk about. It's what all the prophets prophesied. This one who came. They never saw him. Isaiah never saw him. Did it? Oh, but read Isaiah 53. Read his testimony. Jeremiah never saw him. But he knew Jehovah said, Kenneth. Read chapter 6. David never saw him. Read all the Psalms. Huh? Samuel never saw him. Abraham never saw him. Noah never saw him. Enoch never saw him. Isaac never saw him. Abel never saw him. None of them saw him. I haven't seen him. But yet I rejoice with joy unspeakable. And it says that angels, look at this, verse 12. I love this. The last line says the angels desire to look into it. A lot of talk about angels, isn't it? Angels desire to look into it. What are angels interested in? These things. Angels are looking into it. Verse 13. So he says, gird up the loins of your mind. Hey, this is the true grace of God that'll make a man pull himself up by his bootstraps. That's what gird up means. Gird up. Come on now. Gird up your loins of your mind. My mind's falling apart. Gird up. We've got a real hope and a real person just for a season. He said he's coming. He said he was coming. He did come. He said why he came. He did it. He said he was going back, and he did. He said he's coming again, and he will. Gird up. Gird up. Come on, Mary. Gird up the loins of your mind. Let this world and with yourself and all this stuff, I lose my mind. Gird it up. How? What's the girdle? Ephesians 6, truth, right here, this is keep your mind,
It's keep your heart. It's what we're kept by. It's what keep your mind from falling apart. Gird up the loins of your mind, he said.
Be sober, verse 13. Be sober. What does that mean? Get serious. Straighten up is what it means. Straighten up. And hope to the end. What for? The grace. The true grace of God. Wherein you stand. It's going to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Yes, it is. You're kept right now. You'll be ready to be revealed the last time. Ready to be revealed. Have inheritance. Christ is going to come. He's going to reveal it to you. Verse 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourself. This is sanctifying grace. This is keeping grace. This is how Christ keeps us from going back to the world. Verse 15 and 16. God-honoring grace. Life-changing grace. You know, there is a radical transformation in God's people when He saves them. That's not salvation. A new life, or, you know, the fellow was an old drunk and now he's no more drunk and he's cleaned up. That's not salvation. But bless God, it really happens. He really does transform a people into the image of Christ. They really do. He really does turn a hateful, rotten, no good son of Adam into a loving, merciful, gracious disciple of Christ. He really does. Most of us, all of us, wouldn't have had anything to do with one another. If you'd have met old Henry Sword when he's in the army with tattoos on him, you wouldn't want anything to do with you. It's a wonder it's grace that Roberta did. It's just so, isn't it? You sure wouldn't have wanted to have anything to do with me. But God's grace makes a difference. He really does. Verse 17 now and 18, he says, if you call on the Father, and do you? Well, you do or you don't. Call on God, who without respect to persons passes time of your sojourning here in fear. Sojourning. Poor season. Sojourning. In fear. Fear. It's what's missing today. No fear of God. It's not missing in God's people. They're God-fearing people. Always have been. Always will be. Fear God. That's how you know them. They fear God. They fear to even say the name. Fear God. Verse 18. You know this, what it took to save you. Stan, we're not worth saving. We're not worth a dime. What did it take to save us? Blood. Precious blood. God's Son's blood. How could I ever think anything else had anything to do with it? I know this. You know this, John David? You know this. You're not redeemed with this stuff. Anything but blood. John, that's why we're going to be talking about blood throughout eternity. Aren't we? Grace and blood. Read on. Christ was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but revealed in these last times for you. Who by Him do believe. See that? It's by Him that raised Him up. Verse 22. Well, verse 21. It gave Him glory that your faith and hope might be in God. Do you believe God? Christ said, believe me. There's a lot of people that believe in a God. But they don't believe that one named Jesus is God. So therefore, no hope. I believe and am sure that He's the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is very God of very God. He is God manifest in the flesh. And I didn't figure that out. He revealed it to me. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you. Jehovah Witness organization won't reveal it to you. No, sir. The Heavenly Father will. To all His children He reveals that to. That's God. Christ.
Yeah, yeah. That you hope.
I have hope in a real person who was God. Verse 22. Then you purified your souls in obeying the truth. Does everyone believe everything's been said thus far? It's the truth. Haven't said a thing but what Peter said. Just repeating what Peter and Paul and the rest of them have said. That's the truth. This is the truth. Have you believed it? Yes. Well, you're purified through the Spirit and the unfeigned love of the brethren. You know, God's people don't tell each other they love one another at the drop of a hat. Do you? I don't go around telling you, oh, I love you, brother. Whew, boy, I've heard that before. Haven't you? Some fellow recently called me brother, and he's no more my brother. And we don't tell each other we love one another, but we do. Because it means too much. To say I love you means too much to use it so carelessly. Just like the name of God, just like the Word of God. It means too much. It's too serious to use it lightly and use it too often. Right? And when you say it, you want to really mean it or really want to feel it and convey it in such a way that they believe what you say. Right? Well, we do. Don't we? We do. Love the brethren. Oh, that's the grace of God. Isn't that the grace of God? Huh? The brother-loving grace of God. That's the true grace. It takes the grace of God and make you love somebody that you're nothing like. Verse 23 says, you're born again. See all of that? All of that is a result of this. Being born again. Born again. Not a corruptible seed, no, but incorruptible. By the Word of God, what's being preached right now, which liveth and abideth forever. Because everything's fading away, falling away, everything in this world. But verse 25, the Word of the Lord endureth forever. We may hear, I believe we will. I believe we're going to hear the Lord Jesus Christ preach from 1 Peter chapter 1. Or maybe he'll have Peter do it. And we're going to hear it for the first time. We're going to hear it. He's going to say about three words, and we're going to just shout. Yes. And it's so. Every word is so. Amen. That's what amen means. That's the way it was, and that's the way it is. Elect. Oh, yes. We are, aren't we? Can't do it now because too many things get in the way. The Word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the Word which by the gospel is preached unto you. What gospel? The gospel of God's sovereign, electing, saving, redeeming, keeping, justifying, sanctifying, faith-giving, grace, the true grace of God. See it wherein you stand. And you do stand, and you will stand by that true grace. By that true grace. All right, may the Lord bless that. Let's sing number 209. Grace greater than all our sin. 209.